The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of Hope. Messages of Hope.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of this show in which we try to explore the greater reality. And we're going to be doing it today with a very experienced explorer, William Buhlman. We'll talk a little bit more about Bill and bring him in. But I wanted to share with everybody, Ty and I are so excited. Many of you know we're building a new house near Hilton Head in South Carolina. And they poured the foundation today, the most important part. And we were there to watch that happening. And I'm going to tell you all, we're going to go back later after this show, and if nobody's around, we're going to carve a little heart in the foundation. Just imbue it with good energy. Just a fun thing to do. Want to tell you, if you tuned in last week, you know that I was coming live to you from the Monroe Institute. I'm back from there now, but that place truly has special energy. I felt it when I was there before taking one of their classes, and to be back there teaching a class, the same kind of energy was present and really added to the experience. At one point, I just began channeling spontaneously my guide, Sanaya, with lessons for all of us right on the spot about tuning into higher consciousness. And Bill Buhlman, my guest, is going to be teaching a 3-week class there later this year. We're going to ask him about that. But I don't know if I spent 3 weeks in that energy, they might have to tie my feet to the ground because I might just float away. But anyway, Bill Buhlman is the author of several books. We're going to be talking about those books today. He is an expert in out-of-body experiences. So I want to ask him about that energy, if he experiences a difference there at the Monroe Institute. He brings a refreshing look at how we can use out-of-body experiences to explore our spiritual identity and enhance our intellectual and physical lives. Isn't that what we all want? He's best known for his ability to teach people how to have profound spiritual adventures through the use of out-of-body experiences. Additionally, he's developed an extensive series of audio and video programs that are designed to expand awareness and assist in the exploration of consciousness. This is my passion, this subject here. And I met Bill when we both spoke at the Afterlife Conference in Orlando last fall. I sat next to him on a panel, and as I heard him speak, I thought, of all the speakers at this conference, that's the one talk I'd like to sit in on, his upcoming talk on out-of-body experiences. And I sat in on it, and let me tell you, everything that he said resonates with what has been my personal experience connecting across the veil. So, Bill, welcome to the show. I can't wait to chat with you.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you gave us your time today. I know you've been on a lot of television and radio shows, and so you're an old pro at talking to all of us. So I hope that I might give you a few questions as we go along that maybe nobody has ever asked you before. So be ready, because I like to try to do that. But let's go right into what I was talking about at the Monroe Institute. Are you there that class 3 full weeks straight or any break?
The class that you're referring to is an online class.
Ah, okay.
Done by the Monroe Institute. It's 6 sessions over 3 weeks with a workbook and 6 hemi-sync and sand meditations. So that's different from my normal 6-day class that I teach at Monroe Institute.
Okay, we could talk about that online class later. That's great, because I know they're limited in how many people can attend there, but online gives everybody an opportunity. Have you noticed difference in energy there? And if you haven't, that's okay.
Oh, my God, yes. Of course there is. The Institute itself is it's like an epicenter in some ways for higher energy. It's almost like it generates its own force field, so to speak. It's very high energy, and people feel it. I mean, anybody that goes there, I hear this all the time from participants. They all say the same thing, that there's certain, it's a very special energy about the place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, the evening that I was channeling Sanaya, these eight deer came and they just walked up in this foggy as dusk was falling. It was absolutely magical. But enough about the Monroe Institute. Let's hear more about you. What led you to explore multidimensional consciousness?
Well, to make a long story short, a friend of mine had a spontaneous out-of-body experience. I was not a believer in the topic at all. I was in college studying logical subjects like psychology. And he had this profound, life-changing experience that I wanted to have the same experience. So I began to explore the topic, and I figured if he could do it, I can do it. So I found that there were ways to self-initiate out-of-body experiences, which even today many people are unaware of, safely self-initiate. And I did that over a period of 24 days, and on the 24th day, I had my first out-of-body experience. And it was
so you
everything
set,
that I
you
would
set
imagine.
The in- I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What did you say?
It's a life-changing experience because suddenly you become a knower instead of a believer. It sounds cliche, but there's a world of difference between having the experience and reading about the experience and believing in this experience. It changes you in ways that are difficult to even communicate.
Well, that sounds like a near-death experience. I've interviewed quite a few people on this show who've had NDEs. And why don't you tell us about that first experience? What was so profound? What helped this two-part question? And what helped you know this wasn't just your imagination or a dream, which is so many people's struggle?
Well, for me, it was number one, when I was doing the technique, to self-initiate. I was doing what I today call target technique. And I was asleep on my side, and I became aware laying on the side in this twin bed in this, I was in a college dorm. And when I reached out you feel different. It's higher energy. It's hard to describe that. But when I reached out my hand and arm entered the wall. And that's when it hit me, like, oh, my God, I did it. And I saw them standing, and the next thing I know, I'm standing by at the foot of my bed looking down on this lump that was my body. And it was 100% – this is not dreamlike. This is 100% fully conscious, fully aware. And it's shocking. I must admit, I was quite shocked by the entire experience because I had no previous experience in this, and it's life-changing because then you realize, oh, my God, I'm not my body. I'm so much more than my body, but more importantly, you realize if I can self-initiate this experience, that means it's repeatable. Nobody wants to repeat a near-death experience. but the beauty of OBEs is that you find out it is repeatable in a safe way, and you can begin to explore these other dimensions in full consciousness. That's what makes it so special and so profound, and in many ways, way more meaningful than just a single near-death experience. Because people carry their own belief baggage with them into that experience. When you repeat the experience, you have an opportunity to truly explore and discover things that you can't in a single experience. And it broadens your perception of reality far beyond what you'd ever get from one experience. That's what makes self-initiated OBE so, I feel, incredibly powerful and meaningful.
Well, you're doing to me exactly what you did to me when I sat in on your talk at the Afterlife conference. I bought your series of CDs and I listened to a few of them, and I have to admit that due to lack of time, I didn't follow through on it, but now I'm ready to get back into it again and pull them back out and listen again because it sounds so enticing. What would you say is the difference between that and lucid dreaming?
Lucid dreaming is like a low-powered event compared to an OBE. It's like you're watching. It's almost like you're watching a ball game instead of being an active participant in the ball game. I'm a lucid dreamer, and I feel there's a spectrum of consciousness or a continuum of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I feel that everything is connected. I know this from experience.
Right.
Dreams, whether lucid dreams, OBEs. To me, a lucid dream is an incredibly low-powered out-of-body experience.
Okay.
You don't have control. I think that is as clear as I could make it. And I teach this in my six-day workshop at Monroe, how to upgrade a lucid dream to an OBE.
Hmm. Wow. So how much control do you have in an OBE? Say, I want to go visit here, I want to go there, I want to do this or that.
Yeah, you have amazing control. You can fly. You can walk through walls. There's actually only limits that exist are the limits of your own subconscious mind. And this is what people have to be aware of. Because we take our full state of consciousness with us, and if you have ingrained limits about your capabilities, you'll carry those limits with you. But if you don't, if you realize after a while, oh my God, I can fly. You can fly. Because there's no limitation to soul. There's no limitation to consciousness. We humans live in their own self-made box of limits. And we all create limits around ourselves because society and culture has trained us from our birth to be limited beings. You know, we're limited by even our gender. We've been taught that we're biological beings and that we have limitations. We feed like animals. You follow me? I mean, we've been programmed severely from the moment we're born for limits. But we take it for granted because everyone around us has the same limits. And that continues today. Religions teach fear often. They teach limits. They teach that you have to depend on a belief system to achieve, let's just say, liberation. And I know, and many of us know, that that's a total bogus lie.
Yeah.
We're all immortal, powerful, spiritual beings, but we have to begin to reprogram ourselves to our full potential. And out-of-body experiences awaken us to that potential.
So people who have studied in my mediumship class with me would understand when I say that it's really our BS that gets in the way, and that's just an acronym for belief system.
Absolutely. And people take it for granted. The most limiting thing and the negative thing that impacts our lives is our belief system. And we take it for granted because everyone around us accepts the same belief system. So we take it as a norm. And we don't even challenge. Most people don't. I mean, let's face it. Most people never even challenge it. Most people don't even examine their beliefs.
I challenge it every day, Bill, because it's so exciting. Once you touch that greater reality, you start to look and say, where am I holding myself back? And you said that your roommate had a spontaneous OBE, and then you practiced 24 days in a row. So I'm thinking, so it might take 24 days, but I'm actually hearing that it's going to be different for everybody. Is that accurate?
Yes, everyone is different in the length of time. You have to overcome your own self-programming, your own. So I don't sugarcoat this. I'm a very practical person. I teach my entire course is based on practical, proven methods, but it takes time to reprogram a lifetime of BS that we've all accepted. And it takes some time. You have to really work on yourself. And let's face it, a lot of people don't want to do that. It's challenging to confront your own BS. And the problem is that almost everything, even the idea of gender, we put everything in a box. You know, you're a female, I'm a male. But it's consciousness or soul. There's no gender. There's no time. There's none of the things that we assume is reality. It's only a temporary construct in the physical. And it sounds theoretical, but once you have the experience, it's mind-blowing. Because you realize, oh my God, I'm not a biological being. I'm not form-based. I'm not even a human. Consciousness has the ability to take on any form needed to experience and evolve. Yeah. But people don't want to go there sometimes because it pushes up against their belief systems.
So let's go there. I've heard somebody say, well, we as a soul chose this experience in a body for the experience. Why do we want to leave our body?
I do agree with that. I think that the body provides a valuable opportunity for growth. But that doesn't mean that you're limited to that vehicle for growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if no one ever crossed the Atlantic Ocean because it was scary or because it was strange or unusual. I mean, it took courage to do that, didn't it? I mean, it took real courage.
Hey, did you know that I actually sailed across the Atlantic with my husband and my dog, Rudy? And it did take courage.
Oh, my God, yes. Once that horizon is gone, it gets scary. But so you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It takes courage to break out of the old, let's just say, patterns that we have and to explore your full potential. Now, the thing is that people, humans in general, have a tendency, this sounds derogatory, but we have a tendency to be herd animals. We have a tendency to follow the crowd. And mm-hmm. to want to fit in. And here's the issue. The answers are not found that way. If you want to know what you are and where you're going and what you are, you know, the vast majority of humans have no idea what happens when they die. No idea. Clueless. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everybody's on this 80-year journey, 90-year journey, and they have no idea where the hell they're headed. That is extremely weird, I think.
I hope that after the break we get to talk about some of your travels across the veil, because I know that you've done that. But, yeah. So you're saying just be an explorer and it helps you to know who you are. I love that, because in meditation we can come to know who we are as just this pure being that just becomes the blank sky. But you say that we can have untold adventures.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it exciting. I mean, life is an exciting adventure just to discover your true self. And people don't, I think humanity is awakening to that idea of, of the excitement and the potential of us. But it's an exciting journey. Buddha talked about it. I mean, there's certain individuals brought this forward, but the vast majority of people are just stuck in, let's just face it, a repetitive cycle of no knowledge of self. And it's exciting to discover what you are.
And so from your experience, you've taught many, many people how to do this. What percentage of those who set the intention, open up their belief system to have an out-of-body experience, actually have a full-fledged one like the kind you're describing?
I honestly wouldn't know the exact number. I would say it's if somebody is very dedicated, I would say probably 70%. Because remember, I don't care who you are, you still have to overcome a lifetime of physical programming. And that is a daunting journey of consciousness. It's not, and so it does take some self, you have to work on yourself. And a lot of people don't invest the time and just the energy required to do this. And I'm being practical about it. But those that really do, I would say it has to be 70, maybe even 80% of people will have the experience.
Well, that's well worth the effort. Now, you said something just then that caught my attention. You said people have to overcome a lifetime of physical programming. I would have thought it was mental programming. Would you explain that?
What I mean, physical world programming.
Okay.
All the programming associated with the physical world. And 90% of that is mental. The limits, the fears. Fear is the biggest obstacle. And unfortunately, many religions are incredibly fear-based. I mean, who gave it? What wonderful organization created this idea of eternal hell and damnation? How fear-based can you get? I mean, come on. Of course, none of that is real. It was a carrot and a stick to sell their program. And it
so are you speaking from experience, and what have you discovered then? Have you been to places that are scary? What do we have to look forward to if we go traveling out of our body?
People will experience often a reflection of their own inner selves initially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, for many people, is a little scary. For instance, for those that believe in, I'm just being totally upfront about this, if you've been totally programmed in a fear-based environment your entire life, in other words, the idea of some evil entity and fear-based beliefs have totally dominated your life, when we leave our bodies, we're entering a very thought-responsive environment.
Right.
And that's what people forget. We are not objective observers of reality in the non-physical. We are active participants. And that's often forgotten by a lot of these teachers that are out there. And in other words, we often will create the environment around us and the experience that we encounter because we're entering a highly thought response. All non-physical realities are highly thought responsive.
Well, Bill, what's so interesting about this is that you're just describing the afterlife, really, because this is what the souls I talk to who have passed as a medium, it's the exact same thing that they tell us. That's what their new world is like. So you are talking about a way for all of us to experience the afterlife before we pass, basically a safe NDE,
yeah.
Like you said.
Oh, absolutely. I've spoken to I've had many, many face-to-face conversations with dead ones, including my mother, my uncle, and others. And, I mean, we're talking face-to-face, which is quite a different experience than going through a psychic. For instance, my mother, who died when she was in her 70s and quite overweight, when I met her out of body, she was in her prime, I would say 25 years old, and radiantly beautiful. And so it's a whole different game because when people move on, or whatever term that you like to use, our self-conception will mold our energy body. And in other words, that's not talked about enough, I think. We are the creative force in non-physical reality in many ways. And we are molding through our subconscious thoughts, even our very body. I'm talking about in the non-physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why many people that have died, they're no longer, for instance, you no longer have to be blind or crippled after you die.
Right.
Unless you believe that's your only, that's you. If you know, I'm sure you've run into this. People
yes.
that die, they don't take their physical issues with them. The point is here that we create our personal and collective, often we are participants in non-physical reality. And this is not discussed enough, because this is why it's important to take responsibility for your own thoughts and your own attitudes, because you are the one molding your reality. Especially this is true in non-physical reality, because it occurs, you know, much faster than in the physical.
Right. That's why this school here is so challenging, because our lessons don't always show up right away, but across the veil, they certainly do.
Oh, no, it's a slowed down molecular reality, where in the non-physical, things happen very quickly.
So, exactly.
Yes, it takes a while. That's why people they repeat the same lessons. They're just in a different form.
All right. Well, we are talking with Bill Buhlman about astral travel. His website is astralinfo.org. So many questions I have for you, Bill, when we come back after the break. Y'all come back and join us. How'd you like that, y'all, here from South Carolina? Come on back after the break.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio. This programming is made possible through the generous donations of listeners like you. If you feel inspired by this programming, we invite you to contribute. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate to make your offering today. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment with Eric Butterworth, taken from the live lecture, A Course in Practical Metaphysics.
Emily Cady, in her Lessons in Truth, makes a statement which I think we need to kind of think about a little bit. She says, God is not a being with qualities or attributes, but he is the good itself coming into expression as life, love, power, wisdom, etc. He is the good itself coming into expression as life, love, power, and wisdom. In other words, and this again is shattering to some of us, God is not loving. Ah, God is a loving God. God is not loving, because the moment we talk about God as loving, we've got the anthropomorphic Michelangelo-like God sitting up in a crowd somewhere with his heart beaming out, say, oh, I love you all down there, see you so dearly, as long as you're good. But I'm not going to love you very much if you don't go to church and so forth. God is not loving. God is love.
To find out more about Eric Butterworth, visit unity.org.
Join Travel with Unity 2020 for a transformational trip to Rome and the Amalfi Coast, March 26th to April 4th, and explore the culture, myths, and spiritual significance of southern Italy. You'll experience the history of the ancient ruins of Pompeii, visit the Vatican, and spend time on the beautiful Amalfi Coast during this 10-day tour. Just 40 seats are available and space is limited, so reserve your trip before September 15th. Go to unity.org/travel for more information today.
Did you know you can reach Unity's 24/7 prayer ministry online? You don't even have to give your name to know the prayers have begun for you or those you love. Someone has been praying around the clock at Silent Unity since 1890, and every request is taken into prayer for 30 days. Why not let us pray with you too? To submit your prayer request to Silent Unity online, go to unity.org and click on prayer, or call 816-969-2000.
Liz Dawn, CEO of Celebrate Your Life, has been presenting live events with some of the world's leading spiritual teachers for over 23 years. Liz is sharing some of these classic lectures every Monday at 10 a.m. Central on the Celebrate Your Life Hour. Join Liz as she shares memories of working with people like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Caroline Mace, Denise Lynn, and many others. These talks have never been heard on the air before. Listen exclusively on unityonlineradio.org.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
Boy, didn't that first half hour go fast. We're talking with William Buhlman. Many of you recognize his name when I put the announcement on Facebook that we'd be talking with him today. And Bill, you'll like to hear that one of my Facebook followers wrote, "Fantastic guest. By reading his books, How to Induce Out-of-Body Experience, I am now able to produce it once a week. It took discipline, but it does work if you stick with it." So, Bill, how often do you travel out-of-body?
It varies depending on how involved I am in the physical world. But I would say it's probably about once every 2 weeks or so in that at this point.
Do you have an intention or do you just say, let's see where we go today?
No, it's spontaneous. Once you condition yourself, things happen spontaneously. I mean, I don't do techniques on a regular basis like I used to. I had more experiences. But now they're mostly spontaneous. Once you open yourself to the possibility, to the potential, and you're no longer fearful. That's where the big block is fear.
Okay.
A lot of subconscious fear. But once you get over that fear barrier, things just happen. And you find yourself in different environments. And then you have to train yourself to stay calm. A lot of this is training yourself to be aware of the phenomena associated with an out-of-body experience, like vibrations and what many people consider like a temporary paralysis. You're laying in your bed and you can't move your body. That's an indication you're about to have an OBE. Seeing through closed eyelids. There's a lot of physical-like, or what people perceive as physical, indications that you're on the cusp of an out-of-body experience. But people don't today. Most people are not educated on what these are, and they fear, instead of reacting calmly, fear builds because it's an unknown.
So does it for you? Are you mostly just, you'd be lying in bed or just waking up and suddenly you have these signs and do you just think, oh, here we go and go with it?
Yep. That's at this point, yes. It's early in the morning. For me, it's typically early in the morning. I'll wake up, what I would perceive, become aware. And I feel often like a mild vibration. For lack of a better word, you feel lighter. I can only describe this for myself. And then I just react calmly and I direct my attention away from my body. That's the key. People don't know. That's why I do a 6-day class. I train people on how to respond properly. A lot of people, this is not unusual. Suzanne, that's what I like to emphasize. This is a natural experience that people have. You know, think about it. People don't really equate this, but, you know, if we are not our bodies, everybody would agree to this. You're only in the body for a temporary period of time, so obviously we're not our bodies. So then naturally, we are a non-physical being, however you want to perceive it. So it's only natural that we would experience our true self beyond the body. I think that's a logical statement. And
so,
in, In doing so, it happens naturally for people. The problem is that people don't know how to react, because you have to direct your attention away from your body to initiate an out-of-body experience. Otherwise, you'll just lay there seeing through closed eyelids, or lay there what you would perceive as sleep paralysis, because you're disconnected from the body.
Yeah.
And, of course, people are terrified. This is where sleep paralysis leads to sleep terrors. People are terrified of this event. And why? So because of lack of knowledge in our society and culture. The vast majority of people throughout the world have never been taught how to respond to these events. So, of course, they think, you immediately think in a negative way, and fear starts to build, and then you're done. You're locking yourself in, but your own fear is limiting yourself. So, for instance, children have these experiences quite commonly. My second book goes into this, about the prevalence of children's out-of-body experiences before puberty is incredibly high. But parents don't want to hear that. What do? They call it a dream. Oh, that was just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
They blow it off. My point is, these are natural experiences.
Do we really leave the body? And if so, who's taking care of the body?
The body's taken care of automatically because we're multidimensional beings. There's no concern there. Our consciousness, it's not our full consciousness leaving. We're actually operating. I don't want to get too deep here, but I write about this. I have four books out.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about this in some detail. We're multidimensional beings. We're far more than body, mind, spirit, as many people would have alluded to. We're amazing multidimensional beings. And when we leave our body, we're taking, let's just say you take 90% of your consciousness with you. You're leaving a percentage automatically to maintain the biological function of the body. You know, soul is amazingly intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
Far beyond anything that we perceive in our, as just as intellectual knowledge that we have in the biological machine. It's everything, these things are on automatic because we're non-physical. So the main thing is stay calm. When you have vibrations, when you have sleep paralysis, you stay calm and you direct your attention. Like the easiest way to do it is just direct doorknob. You direct your full attention to a locale beyond the body, and you will go to where you direct. And that's the easiest way to initiate an out-of-body experience.
Hmm.
And any random thought of your body, and you're going to snap right back to it. That's where the challenge is for people, is learning how to control the experience.
Yeah, I really was impressed with the many techniques you have, the meditative techniques, the practical tools. That's what I try to teach in mediumship, and you've really honed this down step by step, this is how you do it, and I love that. You've been doing this for how many years?
45 years.
45 years. So when we say you're an expert, you are. So here's a good question, trying to put a definition to something that really is so much broader than our words. But how do you define the soul?
Consciousness, pure consciousness beyond all, beyond form. Pure awareness, pure consciousness beyond form. Form is a vehicle of consciousness, all form, whether it be a flower or a tree, an animal or a human, they're all vehicles of consciousness. And because consciousness is immortal, it doesn't matter how long it takes to evolve, because we're immortal. And it's hard to wrap our minds around this. And that's why the reincarnation process is necessary, because you can't learn it all in one trip. And that's why there's this vast, vast opportunities for experience. We learn by being and becoming what we wish to learn, essentially. If you want to know what it's like to be a human in the 20th century, you become a human in the 20th century. You don't read a book on the non-physical realities about being a human, you become a human. If you want to know what it's like to be a sequoia, you become a sequoia. That's the only way you're ever going to know something. And since we're immortal, it doesn't matter how long it takes. And that's the thing that's tough to wrap our minds around in this linear world.
Spoken like somebody who's been there and become those types of things. Will you share with us some of your more mind-bending experiences?
Well, what I would, it's not just mine, but I teach this, and that is it's possible. And matter of fact, some people have it spontaneously. During an out-of-body experience, stabilize your energy field by just using I teach affirmations like awareness now. It's very important to stabilize your energy field because we're multidimensional. And you awareness now will help to do that, or stability now. And then during your out-of-body experience, demand to experience your higher self. That, to me, is the most mind-blowing experience you can possibly have. It goes beyond anything that I could possibly relate in words. It's possible to have an absolutely transcendental experience. It takes you beyond form, beyond your bodies, beyond to the very essence of what you are. It's beyond all words. And it's possible. I write about this in my books. I've been teaching it now for over 20 years, that we have the capacity to have these profound experiences of our true self. And that's where the answers are. That's where the true knowledge lies. The greatest problem facing humanity is lack of knowledge of self.
Yeah.
That's why there's wars and conflict. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they come from. Humans are incredibly ignorant of themselves. I mean, and I'm not being condescending. It's just look at it. Does anyone in your audience know where they come from and where they're going? I'm talking about specifically, not some generality. Oh, I'm soul and I'm going to go to heaven. That is not an answer. Where specifically are you going? Where specifically did you come from?
What have you been there?
You? Yes, that's why I write about it and I teach this. We have, but you can't describe it in words. Words don't give you that knowledge. You have to have your, that's why out-of-body experiences are valuable. It gives you an opportunity to experience your true self beyond all the facade, all the constructs, beyond all the three-dimensional forms that we use as vehicles and instruments of evolution.
So and you said in your very first experience when you were in college and you're all of a sudden aware that your arm, you reached out your arm and it went through the wall. So clearly that wasn't your physical arm. When you travel now, do you take your energetic body with you, your etheric body that looks like a body?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It depends. It's different. Generally, I'm in my astral body, which is still, it can be a facsimile thereof of my physical body. In other words, sometimes I still maintain my humanoid form, but it has far more capabilities. And then sometimes it's not. It's all in your vibration at the moment and where you follow me. It's not a single thing because we're in flux.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a single thing. We're multidimensional beings. And it depends on where your state of consciousness is in that very moment. It depends on where your comfort level is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people never get beyond the three-dimensional body because that's what they've been programmed to be comfortable with, and I understand that. There's a degree of safety and comfort to walk around in a body.
Yeah.
And that's what people create in the afterlife. You know, no one that's ever lived or died really has a body. No one has ever died. I'm just using this as a form.
Mm-hmm.
Because soul has never died. Consciousness
That's right.
has never died.
That's right.
but we use out of comfort. We create instruments and vehicles to use to express ourselves. And right now we're using these biological bodies. When people that are dead use facsimiles or replicas of their biological body. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that's what they are.
It's the soul's car that it drives around for a little while, or the costume, right? A lot of metaphors.
Yeah, it's like the costume. And everybody's wearing a costume.
So you've written and you speak about a continuum of consciousness. Can you summarize that for us? If you start here, does it start below us?
Well, I write about this in my latest book, Higher Self Now, about these levels of consciousness. Everybody thinks that death is the end. Death is the beginning of our journey. It's not the end, it's the beginning. In other words, we just left the crib. And now we're moving into the universe is a multidimensional continuum. That's what I know. I'm not speaking hypothetically. I know this.
From experiencing it.
We are multidimensional beings.
Yeah.
And yes, we have this amazing opportunity to experience these other dimensional realities, and each one will provide different opportunities for growth. That's
so
amazing.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that we did talk about this show when I put it online, that we were going to talk about the rules of the road for navigating the different realities.
Yeah.
What are some of the different rules?
Well, when I use that term, it sounds so static. I use that term because the non-physical reality functions differently than physical reality. There's no air. There's no gravity. There's no mass.
Sounds like
you don't
fun.
Have a biological body. But people don't understand that. That's what I mean. There's different, every dimension has its own kind of inherent, and rules is such a limiting word.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different functioning realities to each reality that we enter, each dimensional space. I would recommend that people go to astroinfo.org and read. Mm-hmm. I have some very articles on there. You know, you don't have to buy a book. It's just, they're free. Read some of the articles that I put on my website about the nature of reality in the afterlife and how it functions, about the facts that there is no air, there is no grass. You know, these are important things to realize, so that you're more effective. Most people die clueless of the reality they're going to enter. And they're not very effective because of this.
Well, that takes me back to you experienced, you confronted your own mortality back in 2011. You'd already been astral traveling for decades. So how did that change things for you? You want to tell us what happened then?
Well, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the lymph nodes and tonsil. And it did have a major impact. It happened quite quickly by my, it shifted my gears at 2011. Since 2011, I've written 2 books about the afterlife. That was the major, I think that's why I had this experience. It was a life-threatening cancer, and it brought me, while I was recovering from stage 4 cancer, I wrote Adventures in the Afterlife based on my own experiences that I was having during my recovery for over 5 months. And it was a painful experience, but it up to 2011, I wasn't that interested in the afterlife and its functioning. I was more interested in getting the most profound knowledge I could from traveling on the astral. And that experience, let's just say, shifted me into this. Since then, I've written 2 books. One is Higher Self Now, about the nature of the afterlife. How does it function? And I tried to write it to the best of my ability, clear and concise, with no overlay of any religious BS about what did I see, what did I observe during my life-changing experience, because I was having multiple out-of-body experiences.
Well, Bill, most of my listeners are drawn to this program because they have a dear loved one across the veil. So can you summarize for us what you did experience and what you saw personally, and what we all have the opportunity to do if we learn your techniques or others' techniques for out-of-body experience?
The main thing is we don't have to depend on others. We have the ability to communicate with our own loved ones.
Right.
We are all have that ability. The problem is that people limit themselves through this, through out-of-body and through other, let's say, modes of consciousness. We have the ability to be empowered enough to communicate with our loved ones, like I've done with my mother and others, face-to-face. And it's a remarkable experience.
Tell us about it.
Well,
just in general, the afterlife, is it? People think it's a place, but it's more of a state of mind, right?
Oh, it's a state of consciousness. It's endless places based on the state of consciousness of the collective involved.
Right.
And that's what people don't get. They think it is a place. It's not a place. It's everything is about states of consciousness. And the collectives are created by, let's just say, consensus states of consciousness that all agree to the same overview.
Like here.
And yes, that's what this is. Cities are a collective consciousness creation. Everybody agrees that this is real, and we're going to all pretend let's all play along with it is real. Same as in the afterlife. And groups of people create collectives, and there's endless. There's, God knows, endless. There could be billions of these realities. No one knows. I can't even begin to imagine. And they all are run by the collective rules of the inhabitants. They all have their own limits that they bring into that reality. For instance, some believe they're still a three-dimensional being. So that is inherent limits. But the big news is that we have the ability to communicate with our loved ones face-to-face, to be empowered. There's the only thing limiting us is our own belief system that says, oh, no, you're not capable. You need to have an intermediator. You need to have someone else do it for you.
Yeah, I sat on the stage with you at the Afterlife Conference, and I sat next to you, and you were giving this message, and I was thinking, you know, we wouldn't need mediums at all, and that's okay with me, because I just want everybody to know this, that our loved ones are fine, and that you don't have to wait for some long waiting list for a medium to get to talk to your loved ones. So this, your experiences that you teach people how to do go beyond after-death communication to full-face experiences like I had with my mom the very few days after she passed. I was there with her. I haven't had it since, and so I'm going to get your CDs back out again. I know I am.
Yeah, it's about self-empowerment, because we have that ability, because we are unlimited immortal souls. But we have limited ourselves by this negative programming through our entire lives. We have to depend on someone else. We're not good enough. I'm not talented enough, or I'm not good enough. That's baloney. You are good enough.
Because we're all souls. Now, Bill, with just 3 minutes left in the show, believe it or not, what I loved most about what you shared at the Afterlife Conference was your spiritual understanding gained from traveling in our multidimensional universe. What have you learned at a soul level what this life is about? I mean, we could put it on two levels, this human life and this life in general as a soul. But how about here in human physical form? What have you learned spiritually?
I think all of us are on our own individual journey, but compassion. I think we are, as a, let's say, as soul, we learn by being and by firsthand experience.
Yeah.
And that's what's so important. We learn love. We learn definitely how to become better about ourselves. How to understand others, how to communicate with others that are different from us. There's so many different things. Everybody's on their own journey. Everybody's learning from themselves. It's like children are the greatest lesson for many people, especially for men, because you no longer are, you can't be self-centered and have children. You have to begin to give up the self-centeredness and begin to think of them first. I have twin boys. And I realized that as a young man. I had to give up my this self-centeredness and start to give up. My life was devoted to raising two young boys to the best of my ability. And that's a training that we receive. We take it for granted, but we have to give up ourselves and begin to love others more than ourselves. And that's a deep lesson involved in the very act of like having children.
Is that lesson carried over to all of the realities you visited?
Yes. Each reality offers different opportunities for spiritual growth, different levels of it. That's the beauty of the system we're in. We're in a system of evolution of consciousness.
Yeah.
And each dimensional space provides different opportunities for us to learn and grow at our own pace. And that's what's so remarkable about it. And it's all voluntary.
Yep. That's sometimes hard for us to understand that we agreed to come here for the challenges it offers. But you're showing us a way that, we learn our lessons here, but it could augment them by going to other realities. Bill, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been talking to William Buhlman, astral body, out-of-body experience traveler. And his website is astralinfo.org. Thank you so much, Bill, for sharing your wisdom with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Victoria Moran. Since we launched the Main Street Vegan podcast back in 2012, lots more people have discovered the way that moving in a vegan direction can infuse our lives with vitality, spirituality, and compassion. My guests are experts on every aspect of making this work in your real life and our real world. Join us for Main Street Vegan here on mindbodyspirit.fm.